Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty, royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Wolfing sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are? Them called you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. First Peter 2:6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people. Chosen people, royal priesthood.
Royalty.
Good evening, Israel, family, and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahrael of Beth Yahweh. Before we start off, I would like to, you know, someone to send out a, anybody that's out there listening, to send out a shout, let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly. And if you can, thank you, and let me know. And as always, I'll suggest that everyone grab their notepads and pens, pencils, highlighters, your Bibles, your Bible dictionaries, and all those things that you would need for a good study session. And I have been, you know, this is my first week in a number of weeks. And we're going to be talking about who is Israel? I thought the Most High brought to my mind is, you know, throughout the absence or not being on the air, is about who Israel is and what we're supposed to be doing in this day and time. And before we get into the lesson tonight, I want to start off with a brief prayer. And I'm also going to read one of the Psalms also. So, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day, another day to give you praise and give you honor through thy Son, Yahushua. And we thank thee for your loving kindness that you have bestowed upon us throughout the course of the week and allowing us to get to this day, thy Sabbath day, the day in which you set apart for us to rest and to give you praise and give you honor. Now I'm going to read Psalms 1. And I'm reading it from the New Living Translation Bible. In the Psalms 1 it says, "Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of Yahweh, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For Yahweh watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." And I'm reading that because this is letting you know about the two paths that we as humanity have a choice to make. We have the choice to be godly. We have the choice to be wicked. We have the choice to be prosperous, and we have the choice to be destroyed. That's a choice that we have to make as individuals. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us with love and favor, gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. So now, as I said, the title of this lesson is, who is Israel? And, you know, we all have, you know, we've been taught different things in regards to Israel. But I think I'm going to start off with this scripture right here. I'm going to start off in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. And it reads, "Yahweh did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because Yahweh loves you, and because he will keep his oath his oath which he swore to your fathers, has Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." So that's one thing that we know about Israel. You know, that Yahweh brought us out of Egypt because of a promise that he made to our fathers. So he shows us love because of his oath. because of his word. But ultimately, we're supposed to show our love for him through the same oath that we make to him. So we're going to start off in a few scriptures. We'll start off in John chapter 3. And remember, who is Israel? And it reads, "For Yah did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." So now, you know, going to this first scripture, understanding that why Yahushua came into this world. He didn't come in this world to judge it. He came in this world to save it. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 12, verse 44 to 47. And it reads, "Yahushua cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in the darkness. If anyone listens to my sayings and doesn't believe, I do not judge him, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. And it reads, "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. Yah is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So from here, we're going to go to John 17, 17. And it reads, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." We'll stop here for a minute. So first we hear, you know, I started off letting you know that, you know, Yahushua came into this world to save the world. Now Yahushua tells us that if we believe in him, that we should believe in him that sent him, which is ultimately the Father. And he also said, if you don't believe in him, he's not going to judge you, because he didn't come to judge you. He came to save you. Then he also breaks it down and says, in order to worship the Father properly, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then he tells us that we're going to be set apart. Why are we going to be set apart? Because we have the truth. And what is the truth? His word is the truth. And from here, we're going to go to Ephesians. And it reads, chapter 5, verse 26. And it reads like this, "That he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word." So how do we cleanse ourselves? Because evidently we're dirty. And we have to clean ourselves up to prepare ourselves to go before the Father. Because the true worshipers are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So we have to worship him in his word. But his word has to cleanse us so that we can stand before him and be worthy to be in his presence. So now we're going to go to Psalms 119, verse 9 to 16. And this reads, how can a young man keep his way pure? And it reads, by living according to the word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandment. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So when we take on the word of Yahweh, it cleanses us from our former selves and allows us to be a worshiper of him. But that's a choice that we have to make, that we want to worship God, that we want to heed the words of Yahushua, so that we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 6, verse 63. And it reads, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. So Yahushua gives us life through his word. Like we read earlier, that word allows us to have that light. That way we will no longer be in darkness. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. And remember the topic, who is Israel? And it reads, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I am known by my own. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. Let me read this again. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and I'm known by my own. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. And the reason why I read that twice is because of verse 16. And it says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. So in this day and time, you know, many people talk about Israel and identifying Israel as a particular group. But with this, he's letting you know that their sheep are the places that are not of the fold or that are not of the norm. And he's also letting you know that they hear his voice also. So now we're going to go to John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. And it reads, "So when they had eaten their breakfast, Yahushua said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, master. You know that I have affection for you.' He said to him, feed my lambs.'" Right here, we're going to stop for a minute, and we're going to look up that word feed. And it is, in your Greek lexicon, 1006. And that word is pasco, and it properly feed, graze, figuratively, spiritually nourished by feeding people the word of Yah. Then it has another connotation from 4166, means focusing on shepherding the flock of God, caring for them. Stresses feeding them his word. So, first of all, he's telling Peter, feed my lambs. Now, we know a lamb is a baby sheep. So what did he tell him? He's telling him, when my people are in their infancy, you got to teach them. You got to feed them. Feed them that nourishment. Feed them that spiritual knowledge. Verse 16, he said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, master. You know that I have affection for you. He said to him, tend my sheep. So we're going to look that word 10 up. And that's 4165 in your Greek lexicon. And this word is pomeino. And it means shepherding, pastoring. It's distinct from feeding. And it focuses more on, which includes guiding and holding the flock, providing. So what is he saying? At this time, he's saying, protect, guard my sheep. So after you nurture the sheep or the lambs get older, and as they get older, now you have to oversee them, protect them, give them rules, give them guidelines on how to apply the things that you've taught them spiritually. Give them understanding more of what you've been teaching them so that they can understand as they get older. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you have affection for me? Peter was grieved because he asked him three times, do you have affection for me? He said to him, master, you know everything. You know that I have affection for you. Yahushua said to him, feed my sheep. So in this particular scripture, we have the term feed twice. So first time we hear the word feed is like feeding my youngsters, my young believers. Then he talks about guiding them, protecting them, governing them, my young believers. But as a young believer gets fed and fed and fed, what he becomes? He becomes older and older and becomes a sheep. He's no longer a babe, but he becomes a sheep. But then he tells you again, feed my sheep. So that's letting you know that even though a person may be well-versed and learned in the word, but they still need to be fed. They still need that nurturing of that word so that they can truly, truly understand what they're being taught, what they're being governed in. And then ultimately, what they're being governed in is that spirit of the Most High, the spirit of the truth, the spirit of the word. From here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 10 to 14. And it reads, it says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the faces of my Father who is in the heaven, who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them go astray, does he leave the 99 and go to the mountain and seek that which has gone astray? If he finds it, most certainly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So I went to this scripture in connection with John 10:14. And we're going to go to verse 16. And it says, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold." And that's like that 90, that one sheep that went away from the group. And he's gone astray. And he's letting you know that, hey, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get that sheep. And I'm going to bring it back amongst the fold. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis, going back to the beginning. And we're going to go to chapter 11, verse 1. And it reads, "The whole earth was of one language and one speech." Hold on for a minute, fam. I have to look something. I'm back, fam. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Hopefully you had a little opportunity to chew on the things that we've already talked about. So I'm going to start back over. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. "The whole earth was of one language and one speech." So there was a time when all men spoke the same thing. All men perceive things the same way. But there's no, over time, men begin to didn't speak the same language. They times changed. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 9, verse 27. And it reads, and this is Noah. He's, he's about to leave the scene. He's blessing his sons. And it reads, may Yahweh enlarge Yefet. Let him dwell in the tents of Shem. Let Canaan be his servant. So that's all three sons of Noah. Well, that's all, no, it's not all three. It's three lines. The three lines of Noah. Because Canaan is of the line of Ham. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. And as we're getting into genealogy, so this is, it says, now, this is the history of the generations of the sons of Noah and of Shem, Ham, and Yefet. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Yefet, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, Terah. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, Tugama. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, Dudam, others were of the islands of the nations, divided in their lands, everyone after his language, after their family, and their nations. So in this scripture, we talk, it brings you to the understanding that something happened to the point that everyone had a different type of language. And the family separated. So from here, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. And it reads, the sons of Ham, Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, Canaan. Genesis 10:22. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Lud, Amram, and Apakshad. So some of these, like from Genesis 10:1-5, I have a couple names highlighted. I have Javan highlighted. I have Tubal highlighted. I have Kittim highlighted. And I have Tarshish highlighted. But I also looked up the word, the term for islands of the nations. And that is in your Hebrew Chaldean concordance, 339. And it means coastal region. So this is letting you know that, you know, when we deal with your Fetch line, they were along the coast. They were coastal nations, so they was along the water. So now we're going to go down to Exodus chapter 12, verse 49. And it reads, one law shall be to him who was born at home or to the stranger who lives in a who lives with a foreigner among you. So I looked the word up, stranger, and it's 1616 in your Hebrew lexicon, and it means sojourner, alien, a guest. So when we look at this, there's only one law to those, as we know, who Israel is. So anybody who sojourns with you and cleaves to the ways of the Most High, they are considered no longer a stranger if they keep the law, statutes, and judgments. So from here, we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22. And it reads, "You shall have one kind of law for the foreigner," which is 1616, "as well as the native born, for I'm Yahweh, your mighty one." So we're going to have, throughout the scriptures, you have the term stranger and foreigner, and they have the same definition. And that means someone who sojourns with you. So from here, we're going to go to Numbers 15:16. Same thing, same concept. It's dealing with this foreigner, it's dealing with this stranger. And it reads, and this is Numbers 15:16, "One law and one ordinance shall be for you and for the stranger who lives as a foreigner with you." Getting back to the understanding that this one law that the Most High has given us. And this one law has always been passed down, has always been passed down, passed down, passed down. But because man over the generations have changed languages, or languages have been created, that men don't understand that there's only one law. They believe that there's multiple laws, but there's only one law. And the scriptures tells us that there's only one law for the stranger or the foreigner. So now we're going to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. And as we know, Exodus is talking about them leaving Egypt. And it reads, "A mixed multitude went up also with them, with flocks, herds, and even very much livestock." So this is talking about the Exodus from Egypt and how it was a mixed multitude. So I looked the term mixed up. And that's 6154 in your Hebrew lexicon. And it's arayv. And it means mixture, mixed company, mingled people. So it's letting you know that you having a mix, you having different groups of people, and you also having people who intertwine. Families intertwined also during this mixed multitude, because when we look at the Exodus from Egypt, you had different nations, because Egypt was the power at that time, and they had slaves of many types. They had allies of many types during that time, and Israel was amongst them. Israel hadn't become a nation yet, but Israel, or the Hebrews, were amongst them. So from here, we're going to go to Psalms 106, and we're going to read 34, verse 34 and 35. And it reads, "They did not destroy the people as Yahweh commanded them, but mixed themselves with the nations. and learnt their works. So I looked the word mixed up in this particular scripture because Yahweh gave a command for Israel to do something and they didn't do it. They didn't destroy the people. Versus destroying them, they mixed with them. And we looked at this word. This is 61:48. And it's Arav, and it means take on a pledge, give a pledge, exchange, intermingle, mingle. Braided, intermix, technically. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that different times in Israel's history, they were mixing with other nations, with other people. So other people at times were having the opportunity to learn different things of Israel, learning that law, seeing the example of Israel. So from here, we're going to go to Isaiah 66:19. And it reads, I will establish a sign among them, and I will send survivors from among them to Tarshish, Put, Lud, the Archer, to Tubal, Javan, and the islands far away, and to the nations who have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. So they will proclaim my glory amongst the nations. And in this particular scripture, I connect this one with back in Genesis, when we deal with the son of Noah. As you know, Tarshish is one of Javan's sons, which is a son of Japheth. Put is one of Ham's sons. Lud is one of Shem's sons. Tubal is one of Japheth's sons. As I said, Javan is one of Japheth's sons, and the islands is going back to those nations of the coast. So what is he saying in it? They're going to proclaim the glory of the Most High. They're going to hear about his glory. They're going to understand and know who he is also. And how are they going to learn this? Because they're going to see the works of Yahweh. They're going to be seeing the works of Israel, or the works of Yahweh through Israel. And as we know, Isaiah is that, as they say, the messianic prophet. Then we're going to go to Isaiah 56:6-8. And it reads, as a foreigner who joined themselves to Yahweh to minister to him and to love the name of Yahweh and to be his servant, everyone who keeps the Sabbath from profaning it and hold fast to my covenant, even them will I bring to my mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for all peoples. Yahweh Elohim, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him besides his own who are gathered. So this scripture, you know, I went to this scripture because it points to other people coming into the fold, keeping the Sabbath of Yahweh, keeping it from being profane, holding fast to the covenant that has been laid down for Israel, so that these people technically will be considered no longer strangers, but of the house of Israel. Then I went to Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. And it reads, "On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. And therein was found written that an Ammonite and a Moabite should not enter into the assembly of Yahweh forever, because they did not meet the children of Israel. They did not meet the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, Yahweh turned the curses into blessings. And it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." From here, I went to Ezra chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, "Now when these things were done, the prince drew near to me, saying, the people of Israel and the prince and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Ammonite and the Amorites, for they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mixed." So I went to this scripture to let you know that during this time that Israel was mixing with different nations. Maybe I got some more. I didn't read it all. Let me finish. I'm going to start verse 2 again. "For they have taken for their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mixed themselves with the people of the land. Yes, the hands of the princes and the rulers has been chief in this trespass." So just reiterating or going or bringing to the forefront how Israel mixed with different people or different nations throughout our history. So when the Messiah say people not of this fold, he's talking about these people that was mixed with Israel and have had an opportunity to hear the truth of the word. And he is giving them also an opportunity to be of this fold. Because as we said earlier, there's only one law: to the stranger and to the foreigner. And as we heard, we read earlier, Yeshua was talking to Peter and he told him to feed his sheep. And how can we feed it, and what we do when we feed the sheep? We have to go out there and we have to speak the word of the Most High, because his sheep knows his voice. In my early time of my studies, our rabbi said to me one time, he was like, sometimes when you're having a conversation with a brother, you never know who's around and who's listening to that conversation. Because sometimes the conversation that you're having is not for you. It's for the person that's around you. So sometimes we could be having conversation and somebody that one of those sheep from another fold might be listening. We're living in a time where, many people utilize the Holy Scriptures to establish their own walk. But many times you also hear people say that I'm not being fed where I'm at. I'm not being fed. I'm not being fed. I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to eat. But that's one of the things that Yahushua said to Peter. He said, feed my sheep. But then we've also learned that Yahushua chooses a man to teach. Just like the prophets, he chose each individual. Like he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in the womb. So he knows who he has chosen, and he knows their time to come on the scene. So nowadays, we have many men arising themselves up and calling themselves feeding the sheep, calling themselves a shepherd, when in essence, they're not a shepherd at all. They're not. So we as believers in Yahushua, we as believers in his Torah, in his word, in his voice, we have to speak his word, speak his Torah. So that spirit, as they say, words are spirit. So that spirit can get into the air and touch those in whom it needs to touch. So that they too can come closer to Yahushua. So that they too can give Yah his praise. So from here, we're going to go to Acts. We're going to go to Acts chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 16 to verse 17. And it reads, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons in the marketplace every day with those who met him. Some of the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers also were conversing with him. Some said, what does this babbler want to say? What does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be advocating foreign deities because he preached Yahushua in the resurrection. So right here, just going back to what Paul is doing. As we know, Paul was an apostle. You know, Yahushua met him on the road to Damascus, because Paul was a man that was persecuting the early believers. But Yahushua knew his heart. And he knew that he could use this man. And, you know, when we talk about the Epicureans and the Stoics, they were Greeks. And when we deal with the Greeks come out of your sex line. So right here we got Paul, who is a believer in Yahushua, believing in law, statutes, and judgments, and have an opportunity to talk with the Greeks. I'm going to go a little further down in Acts 17, verse 26 and 27, and it reads, he made from one blood every nation of men who dwelt on the surface of the earth, having determined appointed seasons and the boundaries of their dwellings, that they should seek the Mighty One, if perhaps they might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I went through this scripture because it takes me all the way back to Genesis. See, because humanity came from one blood, and that one blood was Adam. Adam. So from here, we're going to go to Acts 22, verse 3. And this is just, you know, just talking about Paul right now and how he identifies himself. And it reads, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, instructed according to the strict traditions of the law of our fathers, being zealous for the mighty one, even as you are this day. So right here, this is just talking about Paul. First of all, he was born in Tarsus of Sicily. If you look that up, that's like a Roman province. And from here, after this, we're going to go to Romans chapter 11. And then I'm going to read three scriptures out of this. But if you get an opportunity, read the whole chapter, because this whole chapter is, you know, very interesting when it comes to dealing with people of the outside nations and understanding what the Most High has done. You know, because ultimately he wants the whole world to have an opportunity to be saved, even though we know everybody is not going to be saved, but he wants everybody to have an opportunity. And it reads, this is verse 1. I asked then, did the mighty one reject his people? Who is his people we're talking about? Israel. It says, may it never be, for I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So this is just him reiterating, saying, hey, you know, he hasn't rejected me, you know. Nah, he didn't do that, because I'm an Israelite, you know. Verse 11, I asked then, did they stumble that they might fall? May it never be. But by their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. How is it provoking them to jealousy? Because now Paul is going out to the Gentile nations and teaching Yahushua to them, teaching them the law, statutes, and judgments, which will ultimately cause the true Israel to be jealous. Why? Because at one time they felt as though it was just theirs. It was only ours. It's only ours. But then what were they doing? They were not doing what the Most High wanted them to be. And that's that example to everybody in the world. So now what did he do? He gave them an opportunity to understand his word by sending someone to them to speak to them. Verse 25, and it reads, for I do not desire you to be ignorant, brothers, of this mystery, so that you won't be wise in your own conceit, that the partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So understanding that certain things that happen in Israel's history happen for the sake of those sheep that were outside of the fold. Those sheep that had an opportunity to hear Yahweh's word through their being strangers and being intermingled. And their descendants teaching the word of Yahweh, but it being polluted by other things. But when a person understands and knows that the one true God has chosen them to walk and to hear his voice, then that's only joy to that individual to want to be a part of that, to be able to identify themselves as being one of Yah's chosen. one of those ones that he had put in Yahushua's hand. One of those that Yahushua will go and get. So, this is my last scripture for the night, and it's Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. And it reads, "For then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that they may all call on the name of Yahweh to serve him shoulder to shoulder." So hopefully the scriptures that the Most High led me to put together for you all this night give you a different understanding about talking to people outside of the nation of Israel. Because many people that are outside of the nation of Israel cleave, or say they cleave to the word of Yahweh, or they say they cleave to the Holy Scriptures. So if they cleave into the Holy Scriptures, and then we know that those scriptures are spirit, and as long as we stay within the word, that spirit of that word that they do know, we can utilize it to bring them closer to the true Father, and help them get into the true worship of the Father through Yahushua. Helping them to understand who Yahushua is and what he has done for us. And many other lessons that we have done, and can it be that simple? We've talked about Yahushua and what he is. He is that armor that we put on to fight the adversary, to defend ourselves against the adversary. We've learned that he is that fruit of that spirit. All those characters, he is those things. And if we partake of that, then he becomes that in us. So as we put on Yahushua, as we demonstrate Yahushua, when we go out there to the nations who say that they read the scriptures, that spirit of that word, which is Yahushua, that is in them, only thing we can do is help bring them to the truth and help untie that, as we looked up one of the words and it talked about being intertwined, intermingled, take those things that are not of Yahweh out of them. Get rid of those, help them get rid of those old ways and bring them closer to the true ways of the Most High. Because I know we've all come across someone who's sincere in what they do and what they believe. But it's an idol that they believe in. It's an idol. So we have to help them get rid of their idols. Just like when we read in the history of Israel, there were times when there were men and women amongst Israel who had an idol. And things happened amongst Israel. And then things changed once that idol was gone. Gotten out of the camp. So that's the same thing when we deal with people that are outside the fold.
We got to help them get rid of those idols and bring them closer to the true ways. Because that's one of the things that Yahushua gave the disciples. He gave them power. He gave them power over evil spirits. And he sent them out there into the world to make disciples of the nation. Because as you know, he came to heal the sick. And that's what we are supposed to be doing in this day and time. Healing the sick. Because he's given us the power to do those things. They're a disease with the foolishness of their ways, with the foolishness of the world system. So, only thing we can do is help them. But we have to also change our mind in regards to helping them. See, I think there's a scripture where it talks about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees were keeping things to themselves and preventing themselves from getting into the kingdom. And also preventing others from getting into the kingdom. We can't be like that. We can't be like that. As we learn the word of the Most High, we're supposed to share the word of the Most High with all in whom we come in contact with, giving them an opportunity to know the truth, just like the Father has given us an opportunity to know his truth through his son Yahushua and through the prophets in whom he has chosen to disperse his word. So family, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to step out your box and step out your box and you have to talk to people. You're going to have to stand up to people. As our leaders say, being that flying ointment. No. You take one fly out that ointment, you know what? Another fly going to drop in that ointment. Another fly. You know, we become that flying ointment because we're standing up for the word of the Most High. We're standing up for Yahushua. And we can stand up for Yahushua amongst others who believe in Yahushua. That's a wonderful thing. But it's standing up for Yahushua to those who may know him, who may know of him. Because I know many of us have come across people say, yeah, I heard that name before, but I use JC. Yeah, I heard Yahweh before. But I use this. Yeah, I heard that. You know, I heard Yahweh. I heard Yahushua. Yeah, I know about the Torah. But I do this. See, because they know about it, that means they have a choice. And they have to be brought to another level of understanding, just like we have to be brought to another understanding in how we interact and deal with people that are of the world. Yes, our example shows different things. But as he say, wise as serpents, but gentle as lambs. I'm paraphrasing it because I think I said that wrong. But I think y'all get the message. You know, being skilled with his word and dropping them seeds of his truth. Because if we're that tree that's by the brook, that's constantly getting fed and getting nourished and its fruit, we have to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do with that wisdom and with that knowledge. I hope I'm not sound like I'm babbling, but I just want everybody to understand that the word of Yah is powerful. And as we learn it, we have to share it. We have to disperse it. Just like it's being dispersed to us. So, family, I think I've read my last scripture. And I think I read that scripture in connection with the one in Genesis that talks about that there was one language. Yeah, the one in Genesis 11:1 where it says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And I ended it with, "But then I will purify the lips of the people, that they may all call on the name of Yahweh to serve him shoulder to shoulder." Getting back to that one language, that servitude, getting back to, we've talked about that also, the purpose and our duty as men, as humanity, is to serve Yahweh. Fear him and keep his law, statutes, and judgment. But ultimately, listen to his voice. Listen to what he tells us. And if we have a relationship with him, then we have nothing to be afraid of. I was having a conversation earlier in regards to sheep. And a shepherd. How the sheep knows their shepherd's voice. And if you are one of Yahushua's, you will know his voice. No one can come to you and call you, teach you, and you listen to it if you are one of his. Scripture say, "My sheep know my voice, and he is the good shepherd." So, Israel, I'm going to conclude with a prayer. It's a closing prayer for the evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank thee in the name of thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and soon coming King, our Redeemer, who laid his life down for us so that we can have another opportunity to make it into thy kingdom, so that we can have another opportunity to cleanse ourselves with thy word and with thy truth, so that we can be a perfect example. Just like thy Son was a perfect example. As he lives in us, we can become that perfect example. Father, we thank thee for meeting with us. We thank thee for allowing us to choose you on thy Sabbath day. We ask of thee to continue to open our minds to the wonders of your word. Continue to help us to work diligently in your truth. We ask of thee to continue to help us to uplift the name of Yahushua, to take on him
We thank thee for allowing us to be the apple of your eye. And we ask thee to continue to help us to look back and call you the apple of our eye and depend on you and know that you will do what you say you will do. We ask thee, Father, to protect us throughout night as we prepare ourselves for slumber. May we stand on your word in our conscious mind and our unconscious mind. For we know that the adversary doesn't sleep. He always plots. We ask of thee to continue to help us defend ourselves. Help us guard our gate. As we read earlier, how do we do this? I meditate on your precepts. I rejoice in your testimonies. By declaring the ordinances on our lips. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Shalom, Israel and family and all listening audience. May you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.